right. Well, hey, let's just for a moment, let's just thank the Lord. Everybody stand up for just a minute. We're going to go from 0 to 100 real quick in the spirit. And but let's just thank the Lord. You know, you're alive. You could be in one of Sacramento's best hospitals, but you're here and you're alive, right? And it's a good place to start. It's a good place to start, all right? So let's just thank the Lord. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you. We thank you that you have brought us this far. And we're so thankful today that your Holy Spirit has come to bring information, to bring revelation, to bring healing, to reinvigorate us, to ignite us. And we just thank you. We thank you. Come on, let's just thank you. Sometimes we've just got to kind of break out. Some of you need to be a little bit abnormal, like I am. I'm abnormal. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. What a big God. What a big God you are. He's a big God. He's bigger. Listen, he's bigger than anything you're going through. There's nothing that you are going through right now that he is not bigger than. Amen? Come on, let's thank him. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that healing's on the way. We thank you that the right word is coming today, this morning even. We thank you, Lord, that things are going to change. Things are going to change. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Thank the worship team. Job, guys. It's going to go to another level, however. Hallelujah. Worship's going to go to another level in this church. And it might even get a little loud where they're going to have to put Dave in one of those acrylic boxes. Loud's good. I love loud. Sometimes I get up and worship the Lord at 3 o'clock in the morning and I crank it up loud, you know. And then I forget that it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I love loud. I love to hook up the worship. And now, I'm just going to just tell your neighbor right now, I'm not leaving early. Just tap your neighbor. Say, I'm not leaving early. If you don't have a neighbor, just tell yourself, I'm not leaving early. Because listen, I'm going to tell you right now, in the next 45 minutes or so, even if you don't believe me, it will be good entertainment. It will have an entertainment value. Some people, when I've got done ministering, and said, have you ever thought of being a comedian? I don't know if that was derogatory or maybe another opportunity to earn money, but I could do it. I think I could do it. This last year, I became an emerging artist. The year before that, I was not. Last year, I was an emerging artist. Last year at one time, I had art in over 5 Starbucks at one time. This last year, I have painted over 200 paintings. I have sold 200 paintings. 2010, I was not an artist. 2011, I became an artist. So you might want to know how I did that? I saw it. I saw myself as an emerging artist. Now, realistically, it's better to be an emerging artist than a famous one because usually the famous ones are dead. That's how you get famous. So that isn't in the plan right now. Right now, I just want to be an emerging artist. My work has been all throughout Sacramento. I now put it over into Reno. You know what was really cool about Christmas Eve? I put a sale price on all my paintings between Sacramento and Reno, and the phone started ringing off the hook, and they were selling. They were selling so fast that I had to set up a credit card system and just take the credit card information over the phone, make sure it was good, and say, okay, go ahead and pull your painting. Now, you have to understand in this economy, this is the worst economy for artists to sell paintings. In this economy, people have cut back on how many times they go to the restaurant. We've shifted from BJ's restaurant to McDonald's. We've pared down, we've sized down, we've reduced the amount of activity level. But I'm here to tell you, there's another economy. There is another economy. I decided not to be a part of this economy in this world. But there's another economy. And that's what I want to share about. And I believe, if you're listening, this is probably the biggest concern I have this morning is somebody is not going to hear what I'm saying. I ran from the Lord for 18 years. It's miserable. I knew the Lord as a young man. I knew the power of God as a young man. I saw miracles in my life as a young man, and I ran from the Lord for 18 years. He's fast. I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't pray. I wouldn't open the Word of God because I knew if I did, I was going to read something that would change my life. I was stubborn. I got out on a beach in Miami, all the way across the United States, thinking that God cannot find me out there. I mean, it was like balmy Florida day, nice aqua blue water, manatees rolling through the surf, white beach, Adirondack chair, little umbrella. God showed up. You know how you know he's there? You know how you know when the presence of God comes around you and you know he's there, but you just don't want to give in? You ever been there? Well, I finally gave in. I gave in through a prophetic word. Not a lot of people are used to prophetic words. But prophetic words literally are the will of God for somebody's life. Prophetic words begin to foretell your future. Eventually, every one of you in the Lord will become prophetic. You know why? Because you have got such an intense life with God that you're actually hearing his voice. And you're able to walk out what you hear. How would you like to be able to walk out what you hear? He's got a much higher perception of who you are than you do. In fact, he could literally intervene in your life in such a way that within 1 year from today, when you look back at who you were, you won't even recognize yourself. Because in 2009, I wasn't an artist. In 2010, I was an artist. Because a prophet came, and he began to prophesy over me out of Hebrews 11. And I began to see myself as an artist in the Spirit. You see, when I go to Aaron Brothers, this is how the canvases come. When I put them in my car and drive home and pull them out of the trunk, they still look like that. But until I see something in my imagination, they still look like that. But as I begin to see an image in my imagination, then I have the ability to have it manifest on a canvas so that the canvas now looks like that. And then people like that, and they pay me money for that. Now that's a good thing, isn't it? They're not going to pay me much for this because there's no value in it. That's not going to decorate the room. That's not going to brighten up the atmosphere. This might. I love becoming an artist because even if people don't like my style of art, they love artists. I don't have anybody coming up to me saying, Mike, I hate you.
They love us. Guess what? The New Agers love me. The lesbians love me. The homosexuals love me. They love my art. I hung my art in an art show. Right next to me, the next booth over, was a tarot card reader. Well, probably like you, it's like, uh-oh. Tarot card reader. At the end of the show, she came up to me and she said, I got to tell you something. I'm like, ooh. So what do you want to tell me? She goes, your artwork speaks. Oh, no. Okay. And what's it saying? Well, she says, you know, the moment at 8 o'clock this morning when you began to set up your display, your artwork literally changed the whole atmosphere in the building. I said, so what does it say? She goes, I don't know, for some reason it talks about peace, love, and joy. Your artwork literally brings peace, love, and joy into the room. Hey, that's a good thing. So, you all get a blank day. You all get 24 hours. I don't care where you were born and into what family you were born, this is what you get. You get a blank start. You get a blank week. You get a blank month. You get a blank year. You get a blank life. Until you begin to see who you are. And it's not until you really see who you are that you can change from this to this. Okay. Now, so you don't think I have some kind of false theology. I'm not great at poetry, but I wrote this week. It was just my own understanding of artwork. Art, to me, is to seize a space and time and breath where the creative mind is unleashed. The hands are busy to deliver. The heart is compelled. The mind is entranced by the sight of what I see before I paint. And for a moment, the vision of images, the contrast of colors, the sunshine and shadows begin to live before me as if it was real, only to cast my eyes on a plain white canvas. No, this is not a scripture verse. My aim is sharp, my focus is transfixed, my brush is poised, my palette is mixed to create again. To enter into a place where few have gone. To bring something from nothing into existence. At times in passion's wildest creative moment, I stumble without design or strategy to behold a brand new creation where the vision has become the reality in a moment. A space of time is seized on what was known as a plain white canvas. A plain white canvas. One of the biggest struggles artists always have is that white canvas. We really don't know the end result. So let me share this with you. Let me kind of bring it home. In John 3, and I titled my message Born Identity. I just want to see it in lights on the Jumbotron. So John 3, if you want to go here, if you have the word, go ahead and break it out. John 3, it's a famous story. I've titled my message, Born Identity. And I'll tell you why. It says, now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler, a leader, and authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night, and said to him, Rabbi, we know and are certain that you have come from God. For no one can do these signs, these wonders, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with you. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, that unless a person is born again anew from above, he cannot ever see or know or become acquainted with and experience the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know that you can experience the kingdom of heaven here? Sometimes we're waiting for over there. Sometimes the old gospel tunes have sold us a bill of goods thinking that one of these days we're going to be living in a cabin in the sweet by and by. But my frame of reference and my heart and my passion is, what about now? What about right here and now? Can I begin to perceive the kingdom of heaven? Can I begin to see it function and manifest in my life right here and now? In my workplace, in my family? Sometimes we get bored with worship. And I think we get bored with worship because we don't understand we are coming into the presence of God. He's magnificent. He's full of splendor. There's an essence coming off of it. There's an essence coming off of him that if you get hit by that essence, you are transformed and changed forever. It's called the glory of the Lord. You can't come into his presence and stay the same. People often tell me, how can I know my giftings and my callings in the Lord? Hey, don't worry about it. Come into the presence of God. And you will be transformed into who you are. You'll change. You'll change. The New Agers will say to you, you can't have it unless you see it. I'm going to say to you, as a man of God, you can't have it unless you can see it. My father-in-law had a back surgery. The back surgery got infected. He ends up, we don't know if it's a stroke or what, just this last week. And so my wife was there visiting and said, I got to get him to the hospital, 911, ambulance to the hospital. I text my wife, how's he doing? She texts back, well, the doctor says he might not ever be the same. My wife and my son stayed at the hospital till late that night. My wife went over to the house to get his will and testament, especially regarding the kind of medical care and treatment that he wants. So when she gets home, she's sitting up in bed and she's going through this thing, trying to figure out what we got to do next with father-in-law. Because father-in-law can't remember anything now. He's slow of speech. And as I saw that in my spirit, I said, that is not going to happen on my day. That is not going to happen on my watch. So I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? You see, if you can hear it, if you can see it, you can do it. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? He showed me. The following day would be Saturday, last Saturday. He showed me what I do every Saturday as I walk around William Land Park for exercise. And he showed me walking around William Land Park exercising. And he showed me that I would stop at the halfway point and that I would take authority over my father-in-law's situation in the name of Jesus. And I would rebuke the spirit of confusion, and I would ask that the Lord would heal any effects of the stroke in Jesus' name. That's what I saw as my wife was going through and finding out, what do we got to do now? This might be over for him. This might be the last. If you live by the world's standards, you will suffer by the world's standards. If you live by God's standards, if you live by His economy, you will succeed by His economy and by His standards. So we got to this point at William Land Park. It was a stop sign. And I saw the big white line there. I stood on that and I saw the sign up there. It said one way. I said, that's it. There's only one way in this issue. So I grabbed my wife's hand. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do, honey. I just shook her. So she thinks we're just walking. But I knew what I saw. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, at 8:30 in the morning, Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke confusion. I ask you to heal the effects of the stroke. I ask that he completely recovers in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, if you go to the Father in my name, he will do it. If you go to the Father of glory, he will do it. That's why I love worship, because when we worship God, it brings us into the Father of glory. It's the whole reason for our salvation. It's not to save you from your sins, though it does. It's not just to deliver you from demonic power and strongholds, though it does. But it was designed. Christ went to the cross so that you could come into the Father's glory and you could be transformed into your born identity. You're not who you really think you are. It's much bigger. You would say, well, you know, Mike, you don't know. I mean, I've been through divorce. So what? That's not your identity. Well, I was born into a poor family. So what? That is not your spiritual identity. Your spiritual identity is found in your Father's presence. And you will transform. And you will find the Lord faithful in your life. People say, well, you know, this abundance message. It's why he went to the cross. He became poor so that you might become rich. You can have a lot of money. You can have fine cars and a fine house, and you could be poor. It's being wealthy. Was it John? He said, I would that you'd be wealthy as your soul. I would that you would prosper as your soul prospers. See, there's a connection there. When your soul prospers, your life prospers. I don't care how stuck you are. The Word of God says with prophetic revelation, if you don't have prophetic revelation in your life, you will come into a stall. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people come into a stall because they don't have prophetic revelation in their life. It's true. Prophetic revelation can come in many ways. It can come when you're reading the Word. It can come in a dream. It can come in a vision. It can come in your next door neighbor coming over and saying, hey, I have a word from heaven for you. Most of the time I get prophetic words from little old grandmas when I travel. Not from big enterprising evangelists, whoa, in shiny suits. But I'll be in a meeting and a little old grandma who's been praying, sensitive to the Spirit of God. She'll come up and she'll go, Brother Mike, whoa, how'd she know? The prophetic, okay? So we're born again, and with this born again feature, you get another set of eyes. Everybody who's born again in this room has two sets of eyes. You got natural, and you got spiritual eyes. If I came over there and poked your eyes out, which I won't do, you still have a set of spiritual eyes. There's even a part of Scripture that says, even if you get into heaven with one eye, but you have a spiritual set of eyes and you have a spiritual set of ears. You have a spiritual set of eyes and you have a spiritual set of ears. Now let me tell you why that's important. Because there's a lot of things in the kingdom of heaven that are invisible, including your Father, including the Holy Ghost, invisible. God wants to begin to fill out your life in every dimension. I'm just as happy right here as I am behind a weed whacker. I'm just as happy as ministering to 1,000 people as I am standing behind my easel throwing paint on the canvas. I'm just as happy. Because I'm living with the abiding presence of God in my life all the time. He likes to go where I go. Sometimes I come into church and I can't wait to get out so I can go be with him. Okay. Enough fooling. Okay, Hebrews 11. My job's to keep the guys back there hopping. Hebrews 11. I would say if there is a passage of Scripture throughout the entire Bible, this has got to be in the top 10. This has got to be the most famous. This Scripture sometimes has got to be the most agonizing. And let me tell you why. Let's read it. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Everybody say unseen. It's the proof of things unseen. And it is the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The kingdom of heaven is in full measure right now. It's in full activity right now, but it is not seen with the bodily eye. But it can be seen with the spiritual eye. And what is important is that you begin to learn how to see in the Spirit. Okay? Let's keep going. Don't get lost. I don't want to lose anybody here. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds, during succession of ages, were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God. It literally means the Rhema, Word of God. Rhema is different than written. Rhema is words coming from a living voice. That's Rhema. My Bible tells me the history of what God did. But the Rhema tells me what I am doing now. It's a living voice. You may say, I'm in a stall. You just need a word from heaven. I might be losing my house. You just need a word from heaven. I really need a job bad. You just might need to hear from heaven. Because heaven can turn your situation around. Heaven can put you back on track. That living voice can alter everything you're going through. Back to my father-in-law. I prayed at 8:30, William Land Park, Saturday. My wife and I drive home. We have our health food. Yuck. 9:30, my wife gets a call from somebody else's cell phone. Hello, who is this? Dad? What are you doing? He says, honey, to my wife, he says, honey, I want to get out of here. Go home and get that gray sweater. Pick up these pants. Put a few things together for me. And meet me down at the hospital. Dad? Are you okay? Full thought. No damage from stroke. Quick memory. Not one loss. So the professional man or woman in the white suit with their name monogrammed across the pocket says, we got bad news for you. So we look at them as though they have some kind of authority that's over God. And we trust in what they say because we've heard it. And we begin to entertain it. And guess what? We go down that road. If I ever find myself in a health crisis, I told my wife this, do not send the well-wishers. Don't send those Christians to my hospital bed who are just going to pat me on the back and tell me it's going to be all right. But you send me some anointed, on-fire people that have been in the presence of God, and you get them there to get me up and out of that situation. I'll talk to the well-wishers later. We need people of faith. We need people to rise up in their calling. We need people who are not afraid what other people would say. Guess what? I'm old enough, I don't care anymore. That's a benefit. I just don't care anymore. I don't care if I ever come back here. I'd like to. The other day, the Lord told me, he says, you're not married to the church. You're married to me. You go tell my people what I'm telling you. You go tell my people what I'm showing you. I thought I was going to have a full year back in the art world. During December, I tucked away with the Lord up at Lake Tahoe. He began to alter my plans. He began to tell me that I'm going to take this message that's on my life. I'm going to take this anointing on my life, and I'm going to go around the world with it, setting people free, not because I like to go around the world. I don't even like traveling on planes. But I believe we are in a season where God wants to begin to turn things up. God wants to start doing miracles in and through your life. God wants to bring a miracle to your life so that you can go and bring miracles to other people's lives. Is this okay so far?
Okay.
When the pastor stands up, then I'm done. So verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped and intended for their purpose by the word of God, by the rhema, by the living voice. Now let me make a transition here. Genesis 1 tells me that you and I were made in the likeness and the image of our God. You and I were made in the likeness and the image of our God. And if you go through Genesis 1, the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. And it's very clear to tell us that it hovered over chaos, darkness, barrenness, nothing. When you come into God's presence, I don't care how dead your life is. I don't care how barren your womb is. I don't care how dead your job is. When the Holy Spirit comes and hovers over your life, you got to wait for the voice. Because the voice will begin to change everything. You can have nothing, but if you have one word from heaven, everything can change. Because every word that comes from the mouth of God is going to perform what it was sent for. It's going to bear fruit. Every word. Some of you, when life is frustrating, you go shopping. Some of you, when life is frustrating, you go and eat. How about the presence of God? How about you going into the presence of God, where the Holy Spirit begins to hover? And you begin to hear the voice in your spiritual ears. You begin to see the plan of God for your life. Everybody say, a picture's worth a thousand words. If I tell you what my son looks like, I could say, well, he's got some tattoos. He's got black hair. I think this week it's black. Yeah, it's black. He's very, very slim. Every one of you has a different image of what my son looks like right now. But if I grabbed a photo and I passed that photo down the row all the way to the back, you would all know exactly what he looks like. If God shows up in your sleep and shows you your future, you're going to know exactly what it looks like. Because a picture's worth a thousand words. He speaks to us in dreams and visions, in prophetic words. He communicates with us. If you are living and breathing right now, I don't care what has gone on in your environment, I don't care what has gone on in your relationships, if you are still living and breathing, if you're still breathing, you're a candidate for transformation. Right now, doesn't matter. You may say, well, I'm not skilled. Listen, I have a natural art ability, but I now have a supernatural art ability. I was in San Francisco a year and a half ago. A prophet began to speak out of the same chapter, out of Hebrews 11. And then he called for those that are artists, please stand. So we stood and the worship music was playing. You could tell the presence of God was in the room. He said, now close your eyes, you artists. What do you see about your art? What do you see? Is it going to be really good? Is it going to be contemporary? Is it going to be abstract? What's it going to be? Are you going to be great at it? Are you going to become famous with your artwork? Are you going to become known? Are you going to become recognized? Are you going to become wealthy because of your artwork? What do you see? We were in the Spirit. Presence of God was in the place. And I began to see it. I began to see me becoming an emerging artist. I didn't have a canvas at home. I didn't have any brushes at home. I didn't have an easel at home. I hadn't painted anything for years. And so my wife and I, we left San Francisco. We got home. And then that week I was taking my son to his job. And I kept passing this metal arts shop. Metal arts shop. What is that thing? And then the Holy Spirit would tell me, go in there. I was like, I ain't going in there. Take my son to work, and I would go home. Next day, taking my son to work, Holy Spirit says, you need to go in there. I'm not going in. There's probably some new ager in there. I'm not going in there. Drive my son to work. Head home. Well, enough of that. I decided to take a risk and go in there. Now, an art studio for a painter is a different thing than an art studio for a metal sculpturist. A metal sculpture studio looks more like a machine shop. You got welding, fire, metal bending equipment. It's weird. I knocked on the door, and this big, tall, black guy opens the door, pulls his welding hat back, like Darth Vader. He's sweaty. He's got welding clothes on. He's got a torch in his hand. Can I help you? Well, maybe. I need to talk to you. Okay, come on in. I got a few minutes. I said, so what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a metal sculpturist. He said, I left a government job, didn't even know how to weld. Got a manual, a little welding kit, started welding. I said, really? He said, now I can't keep up with the work. $50,000 contracts, $100,000 contracts, $150,000 contracts, and I'm backlogged. I can hardly keep up with the orders. And then while I was talking, he goes, oh, excuse me, man, I got a call. Hello, San Rashidi? Yes? Oh, okay, I'll be over there this afternoon. Okay, bye, click. San Rashidi, she's some big person down at the, somewhere. San Rashidi, he's a welder. He's an artist, San Rashidi. He said, Mike, I can't keep up with the work. And while I'm in that room, that welding shop, machine shop, I thought, I know why I'm here now. Have you ever been to a meeting where the speaker, there's something on that speaker that's really cool, and you just love to have a part of that, and you want them to lay hands on you and pray for you? Have you ever had that? A couple of you? Two of you? One of you? Two of you? Do I see? Four, five. Yeah, you want that, you know? So I'm in this machine shop, welding studio, art place, big tall guy, sweaty, and I want what he has. And there's something of a vibe coming off this guy that I like. I am sensing something on this man that I want. And I now knew why I was there. And I said, sir, I want you to lay hands on me. And I want what is on you to transfer onto my life. I want this artistic craftsmanship thing you got going on. So he and out of this barreling voice, he began to speak over my life and prophesy over my life. And I felt something hit my life. I felt something download. Uh-oh, I got something. Now I know why I came. I said, so what else do you do? He says, well, I'm also the senior pastor of one of the largest black churches here in Sacramento. But I make so much money making metal art that I've never had to take a salary. I just signed my pastor's salary right on back into the church. And I have more authority with the city politicians as an artist than I do as a pastor. But I'm very successful as an artist. I said, woo! He just laid hands on me. And then he shifted gears and he began to prophesy to me, and he gave me about 10 things that I had to do in order to be successful and be on the fast track. And he prophesied, boom, do this, boom, 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 boom. The very first thing he told me to do, you got to give your gift away now. What? He says, yeah, you find a nonprofit business
and you give your gift away first, and you watch what God will do. And I think, Brother Dave, we've got some stuff from the mural that I did. That's one of my paintings. Now, here's what I did. This was in December, not this December, last, the other one, way before that. I went to this church. It was under construction. The pastor said, here's the keys. Here's the alarm code. We're giving you the children's room. They said, we kind of like a little Jesus over there in the corner and maybe him holding a sheep and you know, right over there. I said, you know, pastor, I said, I'll tell you what. What's on the inside of me is so big, you better give me the whole room. What's on the inside of me will not be contained on that little wall. So I did a full wrap mural all the way up into the ceiling. I went in the beginning of December, and I finished at the end of December. I did everything by faith. I traveled there by faith. I had no money, no income. I watched gasoline in my tank grow, but I sowed my gift away. When I got there, I began to play prophetic music from 7 o'clock in the morning till midnight, every day for 4 weeks. I painted everything I've never painted before. The Holy Spirit began to give me wisdom on how to layer colors, on how to paint eyeballs. I had new insight that I've never had before in my life, was being downloaded into my life, because the supernatural gift of craftsmanship and artistry had hit my life through the laying on of hands, because I was obedient to do what the Holy Spirit showed me to do, and my artwork went to a brand new level. And I went to Starbucks and signed a contract with Starbucks. And at one time, within just a couple months, I was in five Starbucks at one time. And phone ringing off the hook. One store, seven paintings in 1 week. General manager of the art store, downtown Sacramento, said, I don't know what you're doing, but why are you buying all these canvases? I said, because I can't keep up with the order. I've got blank walls over at this place, and I got blank walls over there because they're selling off. I had to change from oil painting to acrylic to accommodate the need. 2010, I was not an artist. 2011, I became an artist. Because I received a prophetic word. Listen, the body of Christ is full of prophetic words, but very little manifestation. Because people are not willing to mix the word they receive with faith and get out and do the hard work. A lot of times we just want to sit home and go, oh, God, you know, like he's the lottery king. And we run to the door to see if there's a big bag of $100 bills. I've seen these people. And it's not that it can't happen. I now have an art line. I am now designing a jewelry line. I am now designing an organic soap line. I found a place that has the most aromatic sage on the planet. Not going to tell you where it is. I went into a major grocery business this week, just milling around. And the lady said to me, she said, when you get ready after your harvest, when you get ready, I'm going to give you the manager who handles all of our grants. Our company will pay you to develop your product if you'll put your product in our stores. That was just yesterday. You see, because it's an idea, I see it. I can see this thing coming about. It's an idea. The Lord is showing me the idea about this organic soap. He showed me the field where I could get the sage.
He brought me to the right person that can bring me to the right person. The steps that God wants to bring you through to bring you into who he's called you to be might not necessarily happen in the church foyer. It might happen in the secular place. So you get a word from heaven, and then you begin to walk with expectancy. And you begin to speak this thing out. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We begin to speak out what we're seeing, what we're hearing. We begin to speak it out. I was a pool designer. I never designed a pool until I had the people tell me what they wanted. They had to talk it out. We want a big rock waterfall over here. We'd like one of those swoopy-doopy water slides over here in the deep end. And we'd like one of those beach entrances. They got the word out. I began to see what they were saying. I began to see what they were saying. It came out of their mouth as invisible words. It went into my imagination. And with my paper and my pencil, I began to draw this thing out. And then I would come back a week later and say, "What do you think about this?" "Oh, that's exactly what we want." How did I know? Because I saw what they said. You guys tracking? Habakkuk, he was mad at God because his people were poor. So he said, I'm going to take my complaint. God, my people are poor. And I am going to go to the highest rampart of the village. I'm going to go up into the highest place. And I'm going to look out to see what the Lord would say. Well, the highest part of the rampart, that's where the security people would go up to the highest part of the rampart to see what was coming. Friend or foe, what's coming my way? And I think Habakkuk was figuratively saying, I'm going to go up to this high place where I can hear you better. To see what you're going to say. And this is how the Lord responded to his request, his complaint about the poverty of the people. He said, write the vision. Write the vision. Why do we need the presence of God? Because we need vision. We need to see where we're going to go. We need to see who we're going to marry. We need to see our house not going into foreclosure. We need to see the new house if it already did. We need to see the promotion. During this economy, government cutbacks, corporate cutbacks, my wife has gone all the way up to her top level as the executive assistant to the Secretary of Agriculture. I wasn't an artist. I became an artist. In this culture, the culture would say you can't sell paintings. I'm selling paintings. I painted Tim Lincecum, a San Francisco Giants press guy, has already shown it to Timmy. He likes it. So I got some ideas. I could give him one. He could sign a dozen. I could put them on eBay. And then I could buy a small island. When was the last time you dreamed? When was the last time you had hope for the future? When was the last time you went into the presence of God to see where you're headed? To see where you're going? You know, God's talking. He's not deaf. He's listening. His arm is not too short. He loves you more than you love him. Verse 6 says, but without faith, listen to me, without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. Are you hearing? Are you hearing with your spiritual ear? Without faith, it's impossible. It is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For everyone who comes near God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. I believe today God is going to begin to restore your passion to go after him. I'm seeing a new church. I'm seeing a new way that people do church. This is what I see. Listen, I've seen it in the spirit. I know it's going to happen. There's going to come a day when people can't wait to get to church because their finances are overflowing. God has met all their needs way beyond what they dare to ask him. Way beyond your wildest dreams. And you'll find yourself coming to church with an abundance, with an overflow, and you're going to say, here's to the work. Here you go. There's going to be an abundance. Now, I know some of you are saying, no way. I know. I can hear you. There's no way. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't walk in it. I'm walking in it. I'm an artist. I'm an abstract artist. I'm a fine artist. I'm a muralist. And I preach okay. Let me load you up one more. Romans 4. I don't know if I gave this to you guys back there. I gave them like half the Bible. Just to trick them. Maybe I didn't even give you that one. Romans 4. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. And it depends entirely on your faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor. Listen, there is a whole lot of stuff lined up in God's warehouse for you. Your healing, your restoration, job promotion. I believe this. I believe God is looking for a people who will totally trust him so that he can show off. I'm in. Listen to me. When I was really, really young, long story short, I saw a Bible school in the Spirit. I ended up graduating from the Bible school I saw in the Spirit. It's called Capital Bible College. I saw that in the school. I saw that in the Spirit. I drew it out on a blueprint. I walked through the rooms of a vacant building, and I began to see in the spirit. I began to see students in there studying. I saw where the office would go. I saw where the classrooms would go. I saw the walls that had to be torn out. I drew it on paper. Capital Bible Institute was non-existent. I saw it in the spirit. Day after day, I went in and saw it. Day after day, I walked the halls of a vacant building. Day after day, I saw this thing. Until it came to pass. And then I got to be the student, the first student in. They barely let me graduate. But I got to see the walls torn out. I got to see students moving in from all over the country. Hundreds of students have been sent all around the world to do ministry out of something I saw in the spirit before it existed. So I graduated, I studied the word, and sometimes people say, well, you went to Bible school, wah, wah, wah. You know, there's kind of a new movement of Christians out there saying that's unnecessary. But listen, I can go in here, I can go into the word of God any day, any night, and I can receive a mandate for my life. I can receive instruction on how to live supernaturally. The Word of God, the mysteries of the Word of God are hidden to the casual observer. But they come alive to the diligent. They come alive to the seeker. That's good preaching right there. Thanks, Pastor. Abraham had every reason in the world to believe that he couldn't have a son. His wife had every reason in the world to believe that she couldn't birth a daughter. Her womb was barren. Listen to me. It is your God who speaks into dead things. And they come to life. He is proficient at speaking to barrenness and creating life. He is proficient at speaking into chaos and bringing order. It's his hallmark. It doesn't matter where you're at this morning. The plan's much bigger than you. Yes, it is. But he can bring you into it. He can cause things to change. You'll walk in one day and the boss will say, you know, we never do this. But I was just sensing we ought to do this. So I'm going to change your job over to this and we're going to pay you more money because there's more money allowed for that position. And there you go. You will begin to walk in a place where the favor of the Lord rests upon you because you've been in divine presence. And when you walk every day in divine presence, things have to come into alignment with the Word of God. I got the word that I was an artist. I didn't have a whole lot of money. I had to go buy a canvas in order to be an artist. I had to go buy paints in order to put, you know, I had to go buy brushes. So I'd buy a little bit. Paint a painting, sell it. Every time I sold a painting, I went and bought a couple more canvases, a couple more tubes of paint, and maybe a new brush. And this thing began to grow. I said, my easel's too small. In my garage, I built a 16-foot easel. I bought this 16-foot easel. At one time, I had 30 paintings on there. You talk about fun? I know, I got dressy. But if you see me in my occupation, it's a whole lot different. I got pain everywhere. I just have a blast. I have a blast going to the grocery store with all kinds of acrylic running down my legs. What do? You can't tell? All right, let's land this plane. So we can minister, all right? And it'll go quick. Abraham believed when God promised him that he would come into this place of abundance in his life, that he'd become the father of many nations. He believed in the one who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things as if they already existed. He will speak to non-existent things in your life as though they exist. Why? Because they do. They don't exist to the natural eye right now, but they exist. Your health exists. Let me say, well, I just got the doctor's report. I don't care. There's another rule. There's something out there that you can hope in by faith that's bigger than the doctor's report. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. His name is higher than any other. His authority is greater than any authority in the world. And when he speaks into your life, when he speaks into your condition, things have to change. Because Hebrews tells us that everything you see in the visible was at one time invisible. Last thing. It says, for Abraham, with his human reason, Abraham's human reason for hope was gone. So he hoped in faith. The human reason for hope was gone. The human reason to hope was gone. Non-existent in the human realm. And just because it is non-existent in the realm of human effort, in the realm of the doctor's best ability, in the realm of science, it does not mean that it does not exist. For by his stripes we are healed. Done deal. All of your life can be healed. All of your life can change. Everything can transition with one word. Some of you have some gifts and abilities in your life, and they're dormant. In fact, how many would say, I've got some natural gifts and abilities in my life, but they're dormant right now? It doesn't matter your age. Colonel Sanders was 87. He got a letter from the government that his pension was going to be reduced. The only thing he had was something he remembered from his aunt. 7 herbs and spices. 7 herbs and spices. He took down to the local diner and he said to the owner of the diner, he said, can we do a 1-week experiment? My aunt had some of the best fried chicken. Can we do a 1-week experiment and see what happens with this secret recipe? The place was packed. The birth of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Another guy was going under in his restaurant business. He goes over to see the colonel. He says, I need help. I got to be able to revive my business. It's really tough right now. He says, well, I'm going to give you a recipe for chicken. Dave Wendy's. Dave of Wendy's. Gets a start. That came out of the ants, 7 herbs and spices. What do you have? Talent. Ability. Well, I used to play the piano. Okay, let's play the piano. I had a young man who was not a musician learn how to play the bass guitar in 6 weeks. Supernaturally. He could play all of our worship set within 6 weeks. When he came to our ministry, He wasn't a guitar player. In 6 weeks, he learned all of the worship, our worship set, in 6 weeks. You might have been a trumpet player. You might have been a flute player. See, it ain't over. It's not over till God says it's over. You may think, well, it's going down the tubes. Change your confession. When you receive a prophetic word over your life, you've got to change direction. You can't just sit home watching Oprah. She won't get you there. Sean Hannity won't get you there. Bill O'Reilly won't get you there. God will get you there. You'll be coming into this worship atmosphere in this church. You're going to find God in a new and a fresh way. Worship level's going to go to a whole nother level. You'll be just itching to get out the door to get to church. Rather than 9:45 being the time you leave your house, it'll actually be the time you arrive at church. Because you're not from Texas. It really doesn't even matter what's going on in the environment at church. It has everything to do with your posture and attitude when you get there. I'm coming to find God. I'm coming to hear from God. I'm coming to pull down another idea. I'm coming to hear a brand new invention. Do I look like I make organic soap? No, just an idea. But the doors are already opening up. I haven't even made my first bar. I've got wineries are inviting me to go do all their special shows to bring my art. People who can buy $40 wine can buy my art. They can afford it. I'm selling art in an economy that doesn't sell art. So what do you see about your life? What do you see? Is there just some soft worship music, either digital or living live? Or my cousin. That's my cousin. He's my in-law. Let's just, not out of a religious thing, but let's just close our eyes for a little bit. Just for a minute. How many of you are struggling? Just everybody keep your eyes closed. How many of you are struggling financially? Okay. Put your hands down. Just worship the Lord a little bit in your own way. Just for a minute. Just say this just softly to yourself, to the Lord. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming out of this. Say this as a confession between you and the Lord. I'm going to have an expectant heart. I'm going to start hoping again. I'm going to put a priority to be in the presence of God. To be in His presence is now my priority. I'm going to hear from Him. I'm going to see what He wants to do. I'm going to see God moving in my life. I'm going to see my spouse come. I'm going to see my new marriage. I'm going to see my new house. I'm going to see the new sanctuary. I'm going to see my new outfit. My wife has lost 106 pounds. Don't have to say that. My wife has lost 106 pounds. 106 pounds. She's like a brand new wife. Everything's going to change right now. The Holy Spirit's anointing the room right now. The Holy Spirit is filling this room right now. He is getting ready to meet you right where you're at. He's getting ready to begin to answer your heart's cry.
I know that. I can feel that. I got goosebumps or whatever they are. He's getting ready to meet you.
The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Start asking. God, I'm ready for this thing to change.
I've come in one door, Mike, but I'm going out a different door. I come in feeling one way, but I'm going out feeling a whole different way.
I feel a creative anointing settling in the room. If you are a creative person, music, art, writer, I'd like you to just stand up. If you're a musician, you're creative. Thank you. Brother Dave, come down. If you're creative, come on down here.
We're going to release creativity.
Cool.
We're going to release creativity right around, right in the altar. Just
go, walk on down. It's just going to be released. And just face this way. You can stand kind of this way, face this way in a line. There you go.
Cool.
Are you ready?
You might have to run out and get a blank chord chart, start writing music. You might have to go get a notepad and start writing poems. My poem wasn't too bad, was it? Didn't really rhyme that much, but I like it. I feel a creative anointing in the room. Listen, I'll tell you about a creative anointing. Bezalel and Oholiab, two men in the Bible who God appointed personally to do all of the artwork and the craftsmanship in Moses' temple. They were appointed by him. And so I went to study their names and think, why did God appoint these two guys to be the chief artisans in this work? Why? So I looked at their names. Bezalel means one who dwells in the shadow of God. And Oholiab means one who tabernacles with God. Both of these men knew how to abide in the presence of God. And there they were anointed with creativity to the point where God made them famous. They became famous. Close your eyes for a minute, you in the row here. This area of creativity in your life. Are you identifying it right now in your heart? How far do you think you're going to go with it? What kind of sacrifice are you willing to pay to see this thing come about? Are you ready to be radical in this area? Are you ready for everything to begin to change? You ready? Are you ready? You ready? You ready in your heart for everything to change? I'm going to tell you a quick testimony. Maybe two. And in this testimony, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to quicken you. And it's going to have to do with business. It's going to have to do with business. Okay? I was up in Ukiah. I had a big, tall cowboy come into the meeting late. He came down to the altar for a prophetic word. And so I wasn't really threatened by him, but You know, he'd been on the road a while, driving semi-truck, and kind of smelled funny. And so I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, what do I do with a big old cowboy truck driver? You know, what are you going to say to this cowboy truck driver? The Holy Spirit told me that he was going to become an owner-operator. Doesn't that sound like a spiritual word? Owner-operator? Where do you find that in the Bible? You're going to be an owner-operator. What does that mean to you? Well, I'm a contract driver right now. So I get paid so-so to drive a propane truck across the country. So I said, what does a contract driver mean to you? He says, well, if I was a contract driver, I have my own truck. No, if I was an owner-operator, I would own my own truck, and I would make 4 or 5 times as much money. I said, you're going to be an owner-operator. He goes, you don't understand, I'm in debt. You don't understand, they want to come and repossess my Firebird. But I live on a big ranch, and I have big dogs, and they can't get to it. You don't understand, I don't have any credit, because a few years back, I got busted from hauling marijuana across the United States, and they put me in the federal pen. I have no credit. Cowboy, you are not hearing me. That's when you want to just go up and go, bam, hear me. So he was like, well, you don't know my credit, blah, 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 blah. I said, I know what I heard. You are going to be an owner-operator. What kind of truck do you want? I want a Peterbilt. What color do you want? Oh, I like metallic blue. What special equipment does it have to have on it? Well, it's got to have a sleeper cab. And it's got to have special brakes because I'm hauling propane. I said, okay, it's a done deal. 3 months later, I call him. I said, did you get your truck yet? He goes, well, no. I said, I've been looking, but my credit's off and all that. I said, it's coming. Sometimes you have to pull people out of the ditch, get them back on the road of faith. He'd been in the ditch. Come on back up here. A month later, get this. He is in a fast food joint. The guy behind him taps him on the shoulder. And he says, I see you haul propane. Well, it's a 40-foot tank. You can't miss it. I see you haul propane. I do. He says, do you want a job? He said, I already have a job hauling propane. He said, well, ours is kind of different. We make you an owner-operator. You own the truck. It's in your name. We pay your insurance. We give you a gas card so you don't have to put it out of your own pocket and then get reimbursed at the end of the month. See, I'm a blue-collar prophet. Because I've told some guys in shiny suits and they didn't get it. So he starts to think, maybe this is coming true. Jesse's thinking this thing's coming true. He said, what brand of truck do you guys carry? Well, he says, we carry Peterbilt. And all of our staff and technicians, our mechanics, they're all Peterbilt certified, so we maintain your truck. You drive it, and at the end of the month, when we pay you your check for the month, you give us 10% back toward the price of the truck. But it's in your name. In debt. Firebird going to be repossessed. Been through federal penitentiary. You'd think he had no hope. But I told him what his father wanted for his life, and he heard it. So I'm out in Elk Grove one day, and Jesse calls me and says, hey, I'm running through town. I got to haul propane from Elk Grove to Jackson, California. You want to ride?
Heck yeah. Who wouldn't want to ride in a Peterbilt? Metallic blue. I have ridden in a semi-truck that I saw in the spirit. And it's cool. That's so cool. Man, you're up above everybody. I went to the Bible school that I saw in the spirit. I rode in a semi-truck that I saw in the spirit. I'm painting paintings that I saw in the spirit. I became an emerging artist because I saw it in the spirit. Frank Brown was in middle management at Goodyear Tire in Stockton, California. He came to me one day with his wife, and I said, here's the word for you. You're going into a brand new business. His wife, Rhonda, said, yeah, we know. We just sent away for an application to open a Christian bookstore. I said, no, that's not it. That's not it. But Frank, I will tell you one thing for sure. It's coming in 7 days. It's coming in 7 days, Frank. That is the one thing I'm sure of. And it's a brand new business. He went to Goodyear Tire, back to work. He's in middle management. He's got two guys above him. He's absolutely going nowhere for 13 years. He's going nowhere because these two guys are young and they're not going anywhere. He's stuck. This guy walks through the door from Napa Auto Parts, corporate office, walks right up to Frank and the other two guys and says, hey, we're opening up a brand new Napa Auto Parts in Lockford, California. Here's my card if you know of anybody. Well, Frank didn't want to let on that it was for him, so he grabbed the card. He says, I know just the guy. I'll have him call you at 5:30. So Frank gets home. He calls Napa Corporate. He says, I'm the guy. Well, they usually give you the amount of auto parts and equipment that you have in equity in your home. Well, he didn't have quite enough equity in his home to get the parts in order to set up the store. So he goes back to the corporate office back east, and the owner of the company says, that's not enough equipment. And he triples the amount of equipment. He orders the brand new shelving and racks. He sends out a whole crew and team all the way from back east to Lockford, California to set up a brand new Napa Auto Parts store. So I went with Frank and Rhonda and my wife, and we went to the front doors getting ready for our spiritual grand opening. And I flung open the doors and I said, may the King of Glory come in. Frank was like, about fell over. Frank is happy, running his own business, eating too many hamburgers. Guess where I buy my auto parts? I buy my auto parts in something I saw in the spirit. I know how this works. I know how this works. All you need is one word from heaven. I know how this works. I'm good at two things, art and prophecy. That's two things I'm good at. You don't want me to sing. I've told my wife things prophetically. I've said, honey, when you go in the office this day, even though you don't have a boss, because your last boss went out with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you get ready for your new boss. Don't listen to anybody in the office. Listen to me. As soon as this person is appointed, you order her cell phone. You start getting all of her stuff set up. You start making her appointments. You start getting her airfare lined up. You get all this stuff done. Guess what? One of her bosses came in and says, oh, Carol, don't have to do anything. We don't have a boss yet. Don't even worry. When they're appointed, blah, blah, blah. My wife had a word from the Lord. Secretary of Agriculture was appointed by Jerry Brown.
that woman was so scheduled and planned and prepared for. By the time she walked in her brand new office, she wasn't going to look anywhere for an executive assistant. My wife loves her job. Everybody say promotion. Right now there's an anointing in the room for promotion. Right now there's an anointing. Listen, you might not see it. You got to look with your other set of eyes. We already talked about that. It's in the room. There's an anointing in the room for promotion. Right now. Take it. Take the promotion. Come on, take the promotion. Well, I don't know how it happened. It doesn't matter. Does it matter? God can move somebody out of your way to make room for you. The Holy Spirit comes to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to bear a son without a husband. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. And Mary basically said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm game. And the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. And she gave birth to the Messiah. How many want to start living in the supernatural realm? Mary did. Joseph did. Jesus did. They called them Christians in the early day because they were like Christ. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Young man, I want to pray for you. For signs, wonders, and miracles. Yeehaw! I grew up on a ranch. I don't look like it, but I did. Thank you, Lord. So what do you see? Has the Holy Spirit been showing anybody anything about their future? Especially if it's contrary to this culture right now? Does anybody feel like you haven't seen anything change yet, but you feel like there's a fresh start in your spirit? Fresh starts? Fresh start. On my Facebook, last year I was posting every complaint I had about Washington, D.C. and the politicians, and I was just getting so frustrated. Even in my party, I was just like, Pwah! I'd hear it, it'd build up, and then I just posted on, you know, here's some more mudslinging. The Holy Spirit told me in 2012, that isn't my government. He's my government. That isn't my authority. He's my authority. He's my authority. Is he your authority? One of the prophetic words, I don't know if it was the one that Pastor received, but the Lord spoke to me this last couple weeks, that his people are going to fight their battles from a new level of authority. You're not going to fight your battles out of reaction. You know how something of a crisis comes your way, and then all of a sudden you got to, oh, where's my faith? Where's God? Where's the word of God? Where's the prayer line? Back in the day when something happened, we all called Oral Roberts' prayer line, you know. Did you call Oral? Yeah. But when the enemy comes in, God is going to give you a fresh level of authority where you're going to begin to respond in your spirit immediately.
There's not going to be a lag time. You're not going to have to go out and try to find somebody super spiritual. Something on the inside, the kingdom of heaven is going to rise up on the inside of you, and you're going to come against that thing. You're going to come against that sickness. You're going to come against that lack. It's just going to be immediate. How many receive that right now in Jesus' name? A new level of authority. But you're just going to step into it and have your victory immediately. Boom! Doctor's report. Boom! Bill in the mail. Boom! I hear the Spirit of the Lord say he's going to begin to surprise. There's going to be a reverse to what's come your way. He's going to start surprising you. Doors that should have never opened are going to begin to open. I'm not preaching, I'm prophesying right now. If your spiritual ear is open and you're hearing this, it's coming your way. Remember Abraham? He couldn't hope in his natural condition, but he hoped in faith. Because he knew the one who promised had the capability, the capacity to carry it out. What the Lord is going to begin to show you, even this week, even today, what the Lord is going to begin to show you, what he's already showed you today, he's going to carry it out. You just follow him. You just follow his lead. You do the next thing he tells you to do. He might have you hang around a whole new group of people. Maybe you've been hanging around people who've been tearing you down. He's going to give you a whole new set. It's going to build you up. They're going to be people who are going to begin to see something in you that they've never seen before. There's going to be something of an essence coming off of your life because you've been in the throne room. You see, when you go into his glory, it gets on you. Anointing. It's smeared on you. It's on you. I have a good friend. When he goes in the glory, gold begins to go all over his hands. When he begins to talk about the glory and he begins to talk about the Lord, gold begins to form all around his face. I picked him up at the airport to deliver him to a church in Stockton. He got gold all over my seat. I was just joking with him. I said, Hey, you got gold all over my seat. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. This is going to be a house of signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you getting ready? Are you hearing me? Can you see this? Can you see the worship go to a new level? Well, I used to drum back in the 1960s. You might be drumming again. I'm telling you, get ready. I sat down with Pastor this week and had coffee at the free coffee. You know? And he was just honest with me. Boy, this is a rough go of things. It's a rough go of things. Not now. Not now. It'd be fun to go into a church where everything was just perfect. Everybody's just happy. Everybody's just making tons of money and buying new houses and cars and boats and jet skis and all that. It'd be fun to go in there. But where's the miracle going to come from? Visa? MasterCard? I told Pastor, when I receive an offering, don't do it with all the tithe and stuff. That goes to the house of the Lord. Do it at the end. However, let the Holy Spirit tell you this. There's some people in here right now. You've got some money tucked away. And you might have even titled it rainy day money. It's tucked away. And by the Spirit of the Lord, I'm putting a demand on it. Because the house of God needs it. And multiplication is going to come to you when you release it. I'm just telling you that right now. I told a pastor down in Los Angeles who never could raise enough money within his church to get out of the school building and into a regular building. They always had to set up in the morning, tear down at night or afternoon or whatever. It's crazy. And I heard a prophetic word about rainy day money. Kind of the funny thing about it is there were three people that sowed because the Holy Spirit told them to sow. Their businesses improved. Everything improved in their life. They put their house up for sale and moved out of Los Angeles. Because they never could make enough money in their job. They just were stuck. Now, I wasn't trying to send people out of the ministry, you know, out of the church or anything. But there was one. And I told the pastor, I told the congregation, it's $10,000 rainy day money, and God's going to release it. So the pastor counts the offering. There was no check for $10,000. I said, so what? It's coming. See, I know when stuff is coming. I just do. It's part of my gifting. Don't have me work on your vehicle. Not really gifted there. I'm gifted here. I'm gifted here. There's almost something in your spirit because of the economy where you're holding on. When in the past, when everything was going super well and the economy was going well, man, you were a sower. You want to put yourself in a miracle position? Release it. I do this. I release it. This is not a money message. If you see this as a money message, if you hear this as a money message, you've missed it. God will take what you release, He will bless it, and He will release it. I ministered in this church. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. You know? And then I received the offering that night, and the pastor came up to me and he goes, Mike, I'm really sorry about this. It's just change. A couple dollar bills. I go, that's great. So on the way home, I sat that envelope on the seat, and coin by coin, I began to pray for whoever gave it, that God would begin to bless their bank account. Bless their economy. You know why? Because if what God wants to get to me financially doesn't come in an honorarium or a financial gift here, it will come from over there. It will come from another business opportunity. It'll come from a phone call this afternoon. It still comes.
It still comes. I thought I was going to do art only all of 2012. And the Holy Spirit said, no. You're going to take what's on you and you're going to travel and you're going to release this all across the United States. And do your artwork. He changed my priority. I wasn't even going to minister because you know what? I'm just as happy behind the canvas. I'm really happy behind the canvas. But sometimes the Lord is going to call you out of your comfort zone and cause you to sacrifice so that other people's lives can be improved. And your Father will replenish your resources and your supply. Right now, in Jesus' name, I am asking by the Spirit of the Lord to begin to unhook funds right now. Stuff you were holding on to because you're getting a little fearful. We're to be fearless. We are to be fearless. We're not to fear men. Don't fear men, what they can do to you. Jesus sent the 70 disciples out into the region that he was about to go. Guess what he told them? Leave your money at home. He said, leave your money at home. Go two by two. No Holiday Inn reservation. You're going to go to a stranger's house. And if they receive you, you'll stay there. And you'll release the blessing of the Lord into that house. If they reject you, you take the blessing of the Lord. You kick the dust of their house off your feet and you go to the next house. Why did he send them without any money? So they would trust him. They had to trust him for everything. The 70 get back to Jesus and they're like, woo, you should have seen it. That's my translation. Woo, you should have seen it. We raise the dead. We cast out spirits. We heal the blind. Jesus, you should have seen it. Jesus said, I know. I saw everything. I saw Satan fall like lightning. And then Jesus says to them, don't rejoice that spirits submit to you. You rejoice that your name is written in the arenas of God, in the government seat of God. Your name is there. Rejoice in that. Why? Because everything, everybody in the chain of authority, including the demonic realm, know your name's written. You carry an unusual authority to make things happen. You're going to go home into your situation, you're going to begin to speak at it. Not talk to yourself. You're going to get a little more loud because the devil wants you a little more quiet. Things are going to go bad, so you got to get quiet. Things are looking really rough, so I've got to isolate myself. I don't want my friends to know what's going on in my life. No, 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 no. The kingdom of heaven is going to make you loud over the work of the enemy that's coming after you. The enemy, he loves quiet Christians. He hates those ones that just, coming at you. Thank you, Lord. I'm just waiting just for a couple seconds because I'm not on an agenda. I'm waiting. Just want to wait on the Lord, right? Yeah.
Just a quick word. This was a confirming word for me.
It's already bubbling. Say it's already bubbling. It's already bubbling, isn't it? Your currency is not cash. Your currency is what your father said about your life, and you having faith in it. It's a different economy. You can actually start out with nothing. It's actually a no money down program. So, you know, don't even wait for the words I'm telling you. There's just things moving in the Holy Spirit. There's things moving in this room. Without the pastor's permission, I'd like to... let's get those two offering plates right there. I'm not going to ask him permission, because that's my cousin. We're family. I'd like you to just set one up here and one there. Now listen, you're not doing anything because I tell you. If the Holy Spirit's telling you, then do it. My brother-in-law is a pastor here in Sacramento. He built a church in Oak Grove. When they completed all the construction, there was all these horrendous bills that came in after the fact, you know, extras and all that. And he said, next week we're going to take an offering so we can just get all these bills paid. And I was sitting there, just like you are, and I was like, oh man, I'd sure like to help. I have no money. And this is what I told the Lord. If you will put $1,000 in my hand, I'll give it. I mean, if this just comes unexpectedly, I'll give it. Sunday. Monday, I get a call from Siblin and Reed Engineering. And they said, Mike, you have this qualification, the certification that we need. We need you on a project for 30 days. You're going to be the first guy on the job and the last guy off of it, but we need your construction inspection certification in order to get this contract. But you got to work 30 days straight. I said, okay, what's the hinge? Well, here's the deal. We're going to pay you $10,000 for 30 days. We're going to pay you cash. Do you want the job?
What?
Let me pray about it. So I drove to Colusa every day for 30 days, inspected the job, and I got paid $10,000 cash. Do you know how easy it was to take $1,000 to church that next month and put it in the offering? I got 9. I got 9 of it. If you feel like this Holy Spirit's leading you, we'll just take a couple seconds for it. 2 things. You want to sow into the work of this ministry. I just want you to do it. The second thing about this, you may say, well, I don't have tons of money or anything like that. But I am getting ready for the unexpected of God to hit my finances. I'm going to put something. I'm going to attach my economy to this house. Quarter. Dollar. size of a cup of coffee, $1.65 at Starbucks. I'm just going to ask you to step out by faith and just attach your economy with God's economy. And let's just see what God's going to do. I'm going to be calling Pastor in the next 30 days to say, what's going on? Remember, did you get your truck yet? Did you get your Peterbilt yet? You're going to release something of yours. It was funny when I was in Calcutta, India. People would bring their chickens and... oh, they had a different economy over there. Chickens, jewelry. It got wild. So let's just take a quick moment, and I'm just going to see if the Spirit, Holy Spirit, has any more to do. But let's just stand up. Everybody stretch a little bit. You've been down. And let's, you know, just come up. Look, there's no guilt. You may be sitting back and say, you know, I can't do it right now, but I'm going to receive a couple million dollars this year, and I'll be glad to when it gets here. Great. But just come up and do something. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for multiplication of what you're sowing. Pastor Tim is going to watch this money multiply. And you're going to watch your income increase, multiply. Amen? Good, no pressure? Still like me? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. If you hear a prophetic word and to you it just like seems to be like way out there, like that could never be me. That's why it's a prophetic word. Let me say, well, man, I mean, I prophesied to guys that were just going through hell and doing all kinds of stuff. And I was prophesying to them about their future of ministry, and they weren't even in the ministry. They weren't even in Bible school. It's what's going to start to come about. When you prophesy, a prophecy is speaking to your potential. Okay? You can walk out of this room today and say, I'm not going to do that. And it's not going to happen. So prophecy is speaking to your future potential, but you have to engage God in what you're hearing. There's going to have to be some activity. There's going to have to be some steps of faith. Faith without works is dead works. You're going to have to move in that direction. In Jesus' name. All right, Pastor Tim, I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray for both of you guys. Thank you, Lord. You know, I pastored for a while. Don't do it. If you're not called, it is not a world of fantasy. Just don't do it. Be a painter. Ministry. Oh. You have people pulling you from all different directions, and all kinds of demands are put on your life. I served my brother-in-law, who is younger than I am, for one whole year every Sunday morning. I made his breakfast Sunday morning. I made his coffee Sunday morning. I made sure that he had Kleenexes and throat lozenges.
I made sure that his office was neat when he got in there early Sunday morning. I served him for 1 year. People thought that I was trying to get a job in the ministry. No way. But I was serving the anointing by serving my brother-in-law. I had one associate pastor, he met me back in the kitchen while I was baking the muffins, fresh baked muffins, cutting up fresh fruit, because I'd been at Save Mart at 3 o'clock in the morning with all the weirdos, getting his stuff together so it was all fresh, first class. My brother-in-law, younger than I am. Nobody serves their brother-in-law. Come on. But out of obedience, by doing the mundane, the supernatural gifts in my life began to grow and flourish. So as I'm sitting next to him, making sure he's got Kleenex in case his nose is runny and cough drops in case he starts hacking up in the pulpit, all of a sudden I get a prophetic word. I said, Scott, God's going to heal a bunch of cancer right now. Get ready. He'd grab his mic and go, give it to me. He said, get up there. And I would get up there, and I would begin to release that prophetic word over the audience. People would rush to the altar, and a lot of people were getting healed of cancer. How did the doors open? I began to serve the anointing in the house. When I left at the end of my assignment, I trained another guy to do what I did. I think he did it even a little better. No, I wasn't looking for a job. I just wanted some way to serve the Lord in the house of the Lord, and that's what the Lord told me to do. People would come up to him early in the morning and give him this wadded up paper with a prophetic word. Here, Pastor, I think this is for the church. He would hand it to me to go through it to see if it was authentic.
Nope. Yes.
And it was just an amazing time for 1 year to watch what the Lord did in my life. Because I just came and handled some basics in the house of the Lord for the pastor. Is anybody getting this? We've got to get things in the right perspective. Yes, you're going to go out of here and hear from God. You're going to go out of here and have some dreams and visions. But there's going to be some things you need to come into. You need to come into this pastoral care and say, I'm hearing from the Lord in this area. What do you think? It's an important relationship. And as the Lord begins to increase this anointing, you're going to increase. As this increases, you're going to increase. I'm prophesying to you right now. And you're a part of helping this increase. I watched my brother-in-law increase. Because when he came in on Sunday morning, it was just fluid. He didn't have to do anything on Sunday morning but just get before the Lord, open his word, refresh for the morning, and then boom, bring the word of the Lord. Not everything else. It'd be great to have Pastor Tim be able to show up here. He's probably making the coffee.
show up here, coffee's made, lights are on, things are ready to go, and he can just come in and get before the Lord and then bring the word of the Lord. Amen? The tithe is the Lord's. We got to bring that into the house. It's not yours, it's his. This guy can manage what the Lord brings into the house. He's got capable people around him. But more than you coming and serving Pastor Tim, you're serving the anointing. You're serving Christ. Christ picks people, sets them apart to become the pastor. For you. For your betterment. So I'm going to release some things over these lives that are going to begin to manifest, because we're going to have a whole new worship sound in here. It's going to get big. We're going to have more instruments. We're going to have more people rising up to handle different areas of the ministry. I'm telling you the truth. Get ready. Some of you creatives, you just got released today. Things are going to happen. The abundance is coming financially to this house this morning. And now God's going to just refresh. Because I know there's a revival spirit in this too. They know what revival looks like. So let's just put your hand up and let's just pray. Let's minister to these people. Father God, we thank you for these two. We thank you for the shepherds you bring our way. We thank you for the anointing that's on their life. We thank you for their culmination of years of history. And Father God, we release a fresh day in Jesus' name. The word of God says that that if we have the anointing, we can declare the year of the Lord's favor. Let's just do that. Let's, everybody right now, 2012, the year of the Lord's favor over this house, over this ministry, the year of the Lord's favor. We're proclaiming it. This is going to be the year of the Lord's favor. God's going to bring this ministry into a broad place, a prosperous place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's praying in the spirit. We also have a spiritual mouth. We got eyes, ears, and a spiritual mouth. New day. New beginning right now. God is raising up people right now you don't even know. They're in a hidden place in the Lord. God is releasing them now because of the new day that's on this house. Right now, the Lord is releasing people that have been hidden and they're being prepared and they're coming. Isn't that good? New day. We declare the year of the Lord's favor over this house right now. Take a deep breath. Pastor, come up. I used to call you Pastor. Pastor, come up. Get up here. Minister. Thank you, Father. All right, I know it's getting early. You guys can be praying for me. We are quite a road trip. Modesto, Tuesday. Cloverdale, Friday. Reno Saturday. The following weekend, the 28th, back in Reno. I hooked up with a couple crazy guys in Reno. And we really believe the Lord has assigned us to see a spiritual awakening. Not in a church building. We are renting the Sierra Grand Hotel. It's like the biggest, tallest right there in the middle next to the freeway. It's kind of out. It was the MGM Grand. Woo! And the Hilton. We're going to give it a new name. I think it has a bowling alley in it. Wouldn't that be great for after church activities? Hey, let's go bowling. I don't know what we're going to do with the crap tables. But for right now, we're just renting a room. And we're going to publish in the papers and have people invited to come and be healed. And we're going to pray that God is going to raise up a brand new thing in that city. We're not going just because we want to do something big. We heard. So you can be praying for us about that. In February, for some reason, a bunch of doors opened up in Flagstaff and Tempe and a couple. I don't know where I'm going to be. I had my nice little quiet life as an artist last year. Listening to music, painting paintings. And I just see the Lord is just releasing this. I've had prophetic words to go into Germany. I saw in the spirit me going into pubs and seeing college students converted and being sent throughout Europe with the fire of the Holy Spirit on them. I don't know the timetable, but I know it's out there. And it's exciting. If Tim ever invites me back, maybe I can do more teaching on the prophetic so you understand it better. Now, as I wrap up, what you're hearing, you need to get ready for the steps. You can't get the prophetic word. You can't get revelation. You can't have a dream or a vision and do nothing. Joseph had a dream. They threw him into a prison. They tried to put him away like he was dead. Psalmist David wrote, he said that Joseph suffered until the word of the Lord proved him true. Joseph suffered until the word of the Lord proved him true. He couldn't help but prosper anywhere God put him because of the dream. He held on to that dream. The Bible, David wrote it out and said, because of the word of the Lord, it proved him true. You may see some things fall off your life. You may see God unwind some relationships. You may see God bring you new friendships and new structure. You may see some things start to be birthed in your spirit that you've never seen before in your life. Mehesh Shabda was working in a hospital. And he would hold these sick babies, and they were getting healed. So he went into the healing ministry. Are you ready? Are you ready for the suddenlies of God to come into your life? Are you ready for a miracle? Are you expecting your finances to change after today? Are you? The greatest enemy to these prophetic words coming to pass is not trusting God and doubting His word. It's the greatest enemy. I feel like right now the Holy Spirit is actually going to some of your houses. And
and you're gonna feel His presence when you go in your house. I feel it. I feel something in my hands. You're actually, when you get home, you're gonna sense the presence of God in your house. Isn't that going to be a good thing? I'm telling you what, if you get home today and you sense the presence of God, hang out a while. He might start talking to you. He might give you your next step. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm done.